Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Every morning, Taryn Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for April 3rd. It's my birthday. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Bobby. How you doing, Bobby?
Good, man. Happy birthday. I'm happy I could be here on your special day. Too bad there's not a lot going on the feeds, but, you know, at least we can celebrate our own special way by doing the update.
Yes. We are here to talk about everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds. And yes, it's my 29th or 42nd or actually maybe something like 27. I don't know, something birthday. And we're going to talk about the feeds yesterday. It was day 32 in the house, and Bobby is kind of right here. It is a bit slower on the feeds. I think a lot of this has to do with the blood veto. There's still a lot of just kind of speculation and talk about the blood veto. Another big thing, actually, two of our favorite things, the blood veto and the triple eviction, I think, really going to start to slow the gameplay down, just as we saw in Big Brother Canada 6, where there's just a lot of like, okay, when's the triple? When is it happening? Oh, it's 2 weeks from now? No, it's 3 weeks from now? All right, well, we got to make sure we're planning for that. No moves until the triple. You got to wait until the triple. So I really hope we don't have one this year so that we don't have as much of this next year, because, man, it's annoying.
Oh, my gosh. It's gotten on my last nerve. I'm like, they're counting down the weeks. They're saying, okay, it's going to end this day, so it's got to be this time. I'm just tired of hearing it. Honestly, we might not even have one because the timeline is not 100% working out right now. So unless something crazy happens, I don't even see there being a triple. So honestly, it's kind of nice of the fact that this should all backfire on them and then their plans will kind of go askew. But I am so tired of hearing it. It's like, let's talk about the blood veto. Let's talk about what's going on right now, not 3 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I can't even blame them because it is such a huge and important event in the house and you do have to plan for it. But it's just like, very frustrating. Let's just get rid of the triple, please. It's just, it impacts the game for far too long. Anyway.
Such a terrible twist.
Yeah. All right. So we started the day yesterday with Dane and Adam. They were talking about how they're going to keep Mark and, you know, all of the votes and all of that stuff. Dane does tell Adam, he says, you know, with all this blood veto stuff, I don't worry, because I've been talking to the SD and Kiki. I've been telling them that if you go up on the block, that we need to vote to keep you, which is a complete lie. He's doing the exact opposite. He's been telling them if Adam goes up, we need to take the shot. But he's like, I'm putting in work for you, Adam. I'm making sure that they'll vote to keep you if you're up there. They're telling me that they need to take the shot, but I'm telling them, no, we need to keep Adam. Even if it's Adam versus Mark, we need to keep Adam. And so really, really just a bold-faced lie here.
Oh, yeah, just a complete lie. He's just telling what he wants to hear. Honestly, I'm waiting for this to kind of come around to Adam so that Adam gets that information. I don't know if it will. I think he needs to talk to certain people for it to get out. But if it does, there's a chance it could impact this week, if not next week. And I'm really hoping this will stir up something, because honestly, we need it. This season, it's been, at first it was entertaining, but now it's getting so repetitive that I'm just, we need something to kind of turn on the pretty boys and get a new face in there, or at least a new HOH to kind of cause this commotion going on throughout the house.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about how Kiki should have been doing all kinds of different things, but one of her options was throwing Dane under the bus. That's still an option for her, especially with the blood veto in play. If she can be like, hey, Dane is still going after Sam. He's been telling me all the time. He's also been telling us that if Adam goes up on the block, we need to take a shot at him. I don't know what your power is, Kira, but I don't know. If you can get Dane on that block, I will vote him out no matter who he's up against. They really want to take a shot at Dane. That could seriously happen.
Right now, that's her only option, is to somehow convince them that maybe with the blood veto or something that they can work him into the plan. And we still don't know what's going on with that. We don't know what Kira has in her back pocket with this this twist that they're trying to do. But I think that's Kiki's only chance, because otherwise, I think she's pretty much a goner.
Yes. So he also is going to, Dane in this conversation, is going to talk to Adam, and they've been doing this for a while now, but it's funny when I hear it every time. Dane talks about, like, you know, it's just going to be a big resume builder. It's going to be such a big move if, you know, if say I took out Esty, or I don't know, you took out Sam, like, that would just be so impressive. It's like, remember when John cut Netta, right? It would be just like that. I'm just saying, because obviously Dane has zero intention of actually taking out Esty, but if he feels like he can convince Adam to take out Sam, that would be wonderful for him.
So what, like the final three? Like, honestly, it makes no sense for Adam to get rid of her at this point. So he knows that Dane's not going to get rid of Esty. He can tell him whatever he wants to hear. It's not going to happen. And I think this is going to backfire on Dane. I think Adam's going to start getting the picture that, you know, how badly Dane wants Sam out. I think that's taking priority. And I think it's going to finally get in Adam's head that he needs to do something about it to stop it.
Yeah. So we move on. Damien is going to have a conversation with Sam. I talked about this a little bit yesterday morning in the update, that they were having a conversation. They feel really good about each other. They don't need to talk all the time. They have good vibes. Sam does indicate to Damien that she wants Kiki gone. Kiki's a liar. She's acting sketchy. And I've heard her campaign is really terrible, is what Sam says, which is not only her opinion, but the opinion of basically everyone in the house. This Kiki's campaign is really terrible.
I love the tweet that you posted about her going to people being like, oh, I think this went really good. And then it just backfiring in her face. Honestly, every single person is telling her what she wants to hear. So I think she's going to be absolutely shocked come Thursday when this all backfires in her face. But everything she's saying to each and every person, it goes in one ear and out the other. They know that she's pretty much a lost cause, and they don't really trust anything she says. All the work that she had put in beforehand weeks prior is really coming back to bite her right now. And I think that for her, there's really no option she has left unless something with the blood veto twist comes into effect.
Yeah. So speaking of Kiki's campaign, she's going to go with Esty to talk to Sam and Kira about her campaign and the what she plans on talking about. And part of the point of going to Sam and Kira is that she wants to let Sam know, you know, I might be saying that I'm going to target you and Adam to like the rest of the house, but just so you know, I will be doing that. I hope that's okay with you. And I hope that, like, that's not going to upset you. It's obvious, like, it's not true, but that we need to say that to other people, just so you're aware.
And Sam brings up a great point that doesn't make any sense. Like, why would she trust that? Why would she think her going around and talking to everyone, saying that she's coming after Sam, why would that be a good plan for Sam? Why would that would just put a target on her back going forward? So I think this was a terrible idea, but Kiki and Esty, I think this is going to really show what kind of player they are to the rest of the house. And it's just not going to work. They've been, you know, last week during the double, had Kiki won, she probably would have put Sam and Adam up. And Sam and Adam know that. So they know that this isn't true. They know that she's going after them. So it's just, it's not going to work.
It's very bad. Kira and Sam agreed right after the twins left there that we're being lied to. They're just covering the fact that they're going to target us. That's definitely what's happening here. And Kira thinks that that Mark is like them now, that that Mark is somebody that's going to be easy to put up on the block. I talked yesterday or maybe 2 days ago about Mark's conversation with Kira and how he really tried to relate to them in a way that was like, hey, you know, I feel betrayed by Chelsea. I feel like I'm on the outs and people are just going to put me up as an easy pawn. And that seemed to have really gotten through to Kira. They really seem to agree with that sentiment that now Mark is an easy pawn to put up. Whether or not that's true, we'll find out because he does have the protection of the pretty boys. Adam did mention him as a potential pawn at one point during the day, but I think that was probably just cover. So, but that is how Kira is seeing Mark now. And also, Kira and Sam definitely do not believe Kiki and Esty.
No, they have no trust in them whatsoever. And as far as Kira and Mark go, I think Mark put in some great groundwork going forward with Kira to get in her ear and let her know, you know, I'm by myself. I really have no one. It kind of takes the light off of the boys' alliance a little bit, at least for Mark's case. And I think it really will benefit him going forward. There's only a couple people that are going to use him as a pawn star going forward. But I think that if he doesn't have the pretty boys or the pretty boys backfire on each other, this could really implode on him. But with where it's at right now, I think he's okay. And I think it was a good idea to get in her ear while he could.
Yes. Kiki is going to start her campaign. She's going to go to Anthony and she's going to do her campaign. Now, I've been glossing over the campaign. It's very bad. I've been telling you, I'm a competitor. I'm going to win competitions. I'm an asset. But it's worse than that because the points by themselves, they're bad. I'm a target, but I'm also, I've got SD. I trust SD 100%. And that's great for you because that means that you have another person attached to me that's going to, for you. And that's how she campaigns. And she's like, okay. Let me just try to remember. I'm a bigger target. And, what else was I'm good at competition, so I can help you. And so Esty is loyal to me. And, obviously people will be putting me on the block if I stay. So that's a good thing. And, what else was so please vote to keep me.
I mean, everything about this just is got to be red flags. Like, none of those excuses would be flying in the house if I were in there. Like, it just, I don't get it, Darren. Like, why is she going this route? Like, what makes her think that these are good ideas?
This is how she thinks that campaigning works, I guess. She, like, there's something fundamental about how the game works that Kiki doesn't understand. And she's a great, like, I love Kiki the person because she's awesome. I think she's funny. I think she's like a really cool person, but in the game she's just really, really bad at it. She doesn't understand the fundamentals of how it works, that when you're campaigning to people you need to be building relationships, not listing off your bullet pointed list of reasons why it's good for you to stay. That's the same for every person you go to, and then also go to different people and tell them different things when those people talk and they find out that you're telling them different things. And it's very, very bad. We've talked about it over and over. She just doesn't know how to talk to people that she doesn't like. It's really, really been a hindrance to her here.
That's always been her problem, is she can't socialize with people that she doesn't get along with. We've seen it multiple times in this house. And preseason, Twitter was thinking this was their next queen. This was going to be the next girl that they're rooting for. She had all the characteristics that they were looking for, but it's really not showing up in the house. And if she doesn't get along with someone, it shows right on her sleeve. It shows that she has something against this person. She has no way of communicating with them. And so trying to campaign votes after people have seen her for whatever, 30 days now, that they can't trust her fully because she doesn't give them their full attention. I think that's why she's having trouble now.
Yes. So Anthony does say, those are some great points that you've made. And this is like, again, like Kiki kind of feels like the more points that are good that she makes, the better chance she has of convincing. It's like, it's all about a point system. Like, you want to make people feel good. That's how you do it. Not just be like, oh, this was a good point. This was not one, but this was a great point. So that's 2-1. There you go. I'm voting to keep you. But so Anthony's, there's some great points. I have heard that you've thrown my name out here a couple of times. And so, you know, that was, not my favorite thing to hear. And he just goes into his Anthony thing where he's like, he just talks for like 20 minutes. And then Kiki leaves and feeling like, I'm not sure what just happened, but I'm pretty sure that just went really well.
Yeah, everything Anthony says, it goes through to her, but she's not 100% sure what's going on. It's just funny to watch him correlate because he thinks that he has this game all wrapped around his finger. And so watching her and giving her the news that he thinks she wants to hear, it really confuses her. And I think that she doesn't know what she's getting with Anthony, but Anthony is really telling her what are his concerns. And I think that she's seeing those concerns as positives. And I don't think that's, at all the case. So I think this is going to backfire for her. But I really think that Corey and Anthony are a package deal. So for her to get through, maybe she needs some alone time with Corey that can maybe rub off on Anthony. But I doubt it.
Yeah, well, she will talk to Corey, and that will be the one time she recognizes that went really poorly.
Exactly. Please talk to her again. Like, I don't know the other way.
But yeah, this is when I tweeted it out because it was just so funny, and it happens every time. Kiki left this conversation. I think that went really well. Anthony left the conversation, and he spent the rest of the day saying, that was the most terrible thing I have ever experienced. She is so bad at this.
Wouldn't that be one that you'd want to keep in the house though, just because you know how terrible she is at communicating with people? I guess for Anthony, he's in the pretty boy line, so he wants to keep Mark. But if she was against anyone else, I really think that she'd be the person I'd want to keep because of how terrible she is at that.
Well, but that's just a campaigning. It's you also have to look at like positioning in the house and the fact that she's been doing well in competitions. And, since she's so terrible, it's hard to connect with her. And if you can't connect with her, then if she does win a competition, that puts you in danger.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
So we then got Adam, Sam, Corey, and Anthony all in the HOH room, and they were talking about the fact that Kiki and Esty went to Sam and Adam and told them that they were going to say that they were targeting them, but they really weren't. And then Anthony was like, "Yeah, that's what they were telling me just now." And so they're comparing notes, and they're like, "You know what? We're going to make sure we share the Kiki campaign information with each other, so that we know exactly what's being said and the fact that she's trying to play two different sides. And this kind of grouping of people would be a great group to do something with moving forward. Adam feels really good about it. This is kind of what he's been pushing for. And so this sort of, you know, Adam, Sam, Corey, Anthony, they're getting together. They're sharing information. You know, they're really looking forward to doing something as a group here.
Yeah, and I think it's good for them to come together so that for both sides that they can kind of communicate and, you know, start a rapport. But they have something to build against right now in Kiki and Esty. And so I think that this is a short-term thing that will work out for them. But in the long run, I don't think it works out for the Pretty Boys. I don't think it works out for Sam. I think that all this is not going to mesh well going forward, but right now it works, maybe even for the next week, but going forward I don't see this group lasting.
Yeah, it's I mean, similar to I mean, we had a similar group form just a few days ago between Sam, Adam, Dane, Esty, and yeah, Kiki, and we saw how long that one lasted. We got Kiki talking to Damien. She's telling him about her campaign and, you know, how she told Sam and Adam one thing, but she's actually still coming for them. And Damien says, I think you should be working on Kira. Kira is probably the important person to work on here, which is pretty spot on. She says, I am working on Kira. I got this.
Yeah, no, she doesn't have this, but honestly, you're completely right. That's what she needs to be working towards. That's literally her only hope. She doesn't have the votes. She doesn't have the people in her corner backing her up. You know, she has Esty and, to a small extent, Dane. Other than that, she's got no one. So she doesn't have the vote. She thinks she does. Her only hope right now, and Damien's giving her great advice, go talk to Kira. She's the one you need to talk to. She's the one with the blood veto. Otherwise, you're dead in the water. Like, it's just not going to work. So I mean, they don't want to say that to her because they want to like kind of keep her on her toes, but she needs that. She needs Kira. Otherwise, if she doesn't build that rapport with her, she's going to have nothing. Granted, we don't know what's going to happen with this twist. We don't know where it's going to go, but that's her only hope.
Yes. So Kiki asks Damien about his conversation with Sam, and he holds back a bit here. You know, he does not tell her that Sam told him that Kiki's a liar and, you know, basically that Kiki should be leaving. He's like, it went okay. Yeah. You know, she's kind of vague about things. this is why Damien has lasted as long as he has, because he will not tank his own game by sharing this kind of information. He still, I believe, at this point wants Kiki to stay, but you know, not to the extent that he's gonna, you know, throw himself under the bus.
No, he's not gonna jeopardize his game for Kiki or for even Esty. I just think that, like you said, he's playing a great game in the fact that he's kind of being nonchalant about it. It's not so much like a floater. I'm not going to say that at all. But it's someone who's being wise with their choices, which you don't see a lot of in the Big Brother house from year to year. He's going around picking up information, talking to everyone, being, you know, honest with them, but not giving away too much of his hand. And I think that that is going to be huge for him if he ever comes into power. He's going to have a lot of people in his ear, so I think he's going to be able to pick up a lot of information, which, God, I hope someone else gets power this week. Please. Oh, God, please.
Yeah. They talk about the votes. They say, you know, Kiki, she has 3 votes, Dane, Esty, and Damien, so they just need one more, and, you know, then Kiki can stay, and unfortunately for Kiki, she's not getting one more. And even if she does, she's going to lose one of those 3.
Jared, you might go unanimous if Esty finds out that all the house is going against her. Like,
yeah, I think Esty will throw her a vote no matter what. But looking great. So Sam and Adam talk about targeting Esty next week. They're recognizing that Esty is the one that is better socially between the two of her and Kiki. They feel like Esty is behind anything that Kiki does well, that probably comes from Esty. And so they're looking at potentially targeting her because they still feel good about Damian. Now they're building something with Corey and Anthony, which just leaves Dane and Esty on the outs. Now, of course, Sam doesn't really want Esty to go. She's going to talk with Kira about how she really wants to take a shot at Dane next week. That if they can, they want to make sure Dane is the one to go. Obviously, Esty, much less threatening than Dane at this point. And so, you know, she talked with Kira about how they feel really good about their positioning. That they feel good about what they've been doing this week. And next week, it's time to take a shot at Dane if they can. Especially once Kira... Kiki is gone and he will have less votes to stay. Kira feels like they've been talking enough and spreading enough seeds that there are enough people that would vote Dane out next week if they took that shot. So that's what they're planning.
Yeah. And the feeling is mutual between Dane. I think he's ready to take that shot at Sam, even if it hurts Adam's game. I think that for the girls, they have to make that move because right now, that move is the only move that's coming after them directly. I think that if Dane gets any kind of power, I think Kira and Sam might be the two that go up on the block. As far as Sam, I think that if she's really going to need Kira to win this HOH for that to happen, I really don't think Adam would ever go with that and go through with that because of the Pretty Boy Alliance. But yeah, I really do think that shots are going to be fired one way or the other. It's just trying to see who's going to hit first.
Yes. So Dane is going to talk to Anthony and things are going to start to heat up a little bit. Dane is again sort of pitching that, you know, the weakest side pieces are the ones that need to stick around. And well, look at that. Esty happens to be the weakest. Oh, man, what a surprise. I guess we should just keep Esty around for a long time because she's the weakest. We just should be looking at, I mean, if you're ranking it, you know, weakest to strongest, you know, okay, Kira's the weakest, so we'll keep Kira around the longest. But then Esty, then, you know, then Damian, then Sam, then Corey. I mean, I think that's about the order there. And Anthony's like, no. We need to look deeper than that. It's not about competitions. It's about percentages. It's about loyalty. And I know for a fact that Corey wouldn't do anything without coming to me first. So, you know, you got to look at that. And Dana's like, no. Loyalty doesn't matter. This is all, it's all down to competitions now. You know, loyalty doesn't mean anything if they win a competition. So we just need to win all the competitions. We need to get out the strongest people. And Anthony's like, no. That's not how it works. And they start to get a little heated here.
And this is where the guys' side pieces are really turning against them with each other. I think this is where they're trying to do their best interest. You know, Anthony has Corey, Dane has Esty, Sam, Adam has Sam. So I think this is where the targets are going to be placed somewhere. And it's just depending on which one it lands. This is the best news for Damian. Because Damian was right in the middle of that plan, and a lot of things can change in a couple weeks if he's not the main target. But I can see where both guys are coming from. They're trying to protect their side piece that's helping them get further in the game, the people that maybe they think that they can take along and beat later on. So I understand where their heads are at, but this is where it's going to be a line in the road. This is where everything's going to splinter for them, in my opinion, with their alliance, because they're going to fight too hard to keep their person there. And I think this is where the factions will start.
Yes. So we then get a little bit of Corey and Anthony. Corey wants to make sure that she talks to Sam about the fact that she knows that there was a backdoor plan intended for her. But Corey is, you know, really learning the game pretty well at this point. She's learning well from Anthony and she has good instincts. And, you know, part of this is that she knows that to follow up on things, right? Like she knows that Sam knows that she knows that there was a backdoor plan for her because that information is out there. And so if, you know, because Corey is playing up the fact that she trusts Sam, it would be weird if Corey didn't go to Sam to talk about this. So she's like, I need to make sure I talk to Sam about this at some point and make sure that she thinks that I don't think that she had anything to do with it. And that Adam didn't have anything to do with it. And that Dane is the one to imply that I think that he is the one that is the behind this thing. So it's important for her to have that conversation. And she does later in the day talked with Sam, has this exact conversation. I never thought it was you. Oh, great. I never thought it was me either. And then she wants to do that and imply that, you know, that Dane is the person to continue to build that bond, continue to build that sort of these two pairs coming together. She also tells Anthony about Kira's plan to target Dane moving forward. So Anthony has that information stowed away. She says, I don't want to put Damien, Kira, or Sam on the block. And Anthony's like, that doesn't leave a lot of people. The house is getting small here.
Yeah, that target's getting real small on people's backs. Welcome to the game, Corey. Thank you for starting to like go around and realizing you need to talk to people and communicate with people and get that word across. And it's great for Anthony because he's getting all this feedback right back in his ear. I think that they're really starting to realize that the targets are getting bigger and bigger and bigger on each other's back. And I really think that for each of them, they need these pieces to give them information, because otherwise they're not going to get the intel, because the game is so fluid at this point that I think that for them, they need this kind of information to come in for their games to enhance. If they don't, or if one of their pieces gets taken out, I think it's going to backfire for all of them.
Yes. And also important to know, of course, that Anthony knows all of this about Corey and is 100% lying to Adam and Dane about who she's actually targeting in order to protect her, because he is her piece, or she is his piece on the board. So there you go. Adam and Sam are going to have a big relationship fight. We can kind of gloss over that because they're annoying. Anthony and Damien talk for a while. Anthony is going to work on Damien for a long time. He's going to spend a long time really throughout the day working on Damien to try and basically flip his vote, pull him in a little bit more. He tells Damien, hey, Kiki's thrown your name out. And Damien's like, what? Kiki threw my name out? Like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah, I heard it. He goes on to explain the thing he's been explaining all day, which is Kiki is not picking a side. You have different groups in the house. You can't go to one group and say to that group, hey, I'm with you, I'm going against them, but I'm going to say I'm going against you, but I'm really with you. And then go to another group and say, hey, I'm going to say I'm going against this other group, but I'm really with you. And then go to the third group and be like, hey, I'm going against that group, but I'm really with you. That's not how it works. You need to pick a side and stick with it and pick the majority. That's how you play this game. And Kiki is not doing that. She's going all over the place. She's lying. She's throwing everybody's names out. She's throwing my name out. She's throwing your name out. It's just not good. It's not good. So he spends a lot of time working on Damien there. Damien will, after he talks with Anthony, kind of wonder to himself, like, Kiki said my name?
No, I think he's really second guessing himself right now. But Anthony's just working his magic, you know, telling people little things, giving them little hints. Even though the information might not always be 100% correct, he's at least getting in people's ears and causing that kind of friction amongst people with people that they feel like they can trust. Damien's really second guessing Kiki right now, and it's really starting to stir the pot a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, Kiki has said Damien's name. In the telephone game, as Anthony likes to call it, of naming targets, Damien is one of the people she actually probably wouldn't target. She would if she had to. Like, she has in the past been genuine about, like, no, if we have to cut Damien, we have to cut Damien. But at this point in time, because she has no other allies, she actually would probably be loyal to Damien. But she has said his name. So that's out there. Later in the night, Damien's going to give us a little more insight onto how he's feeling about this, basically saying, you know what? I trust those guys. I trust Dane. I trust Kiki. I trust Esty. I want Kiki to stay. I don't know if the numbers are there, though. For some reason, it seems like Anthony and Corey are like they have it out for Kiki. They have a problem with her. I don't know exactly what's happening, why they want her out, but it seems like they do. And if they do, then the numbers are probably not there. So, you know, he's kind of put in a pickle. And I hope that he does not vote to keep Kiki, even though he might know that the votes are not there, similar to what he did with Mackie, because I do think that at that point it may tank what's left of his game.
Yeah, he better not do this, because there's no way the votes are there. They're not going to get the votes. Don't throw a vote onto her because you think, you know, that she's going to be better for your game. That might be worse for your game by tanking your game, because you're taking or trying to keep someone in the house that everyone else wants out. So I really hope that someone will let him know, like, this is the plan. Everyone's unanimous. This is what we're doing besides Esty. So you need to come on board with this. And I think if he hears that from someone or gets the intel that there's no way the votes are there, he'll come back. But right now it's kind of worrying me to hear that he really wants to fight for her, but he's not going to say anything. But if she has the votes, he'll vote for her. Because if one or two people give him that information saying, oh yeah, we're going to vote for her, we'll vote for her, he might cast his vote that way. And it might be only him and Esty that voted that way and would put a big, big target on his back.
Yeah, I mean, Damien at this point is basically the only person in the house that has been able to resist Anthony's charm, that Anthony is not able to control Damien. Really, none of the pretty boys are able to control or influence Damien because Damien has a mind of his own. And he has been tricked a couple of times. He does trust Dane probably more than he should, but I don't think Dane could convince him to do something he didn't want to do. Damien is probably the strongest willed person in the house. And the thing that's keeping him there is that he is also the best person at convincing other people that he does not have the strongest will. He is really good at convincing everyone that he is with them and believes everything they say and is influenced by them. And so if he shows that he has a backbone and he shows that the pretty boys are not able to convince him or influence him with his vote, then I think he quickly jumps up to the top of the target list, because he should be at the top of the target list. He is a good competitor and he is not intimately connected with any of the pretty boys. He is a great compromise for everyone to be like, you know what? We can keep our own pieces. Damien's a threat. He's hard to influence. He's not attached to any of us. Let's just take out Damien first and continue to hold off on attacking each other's pieces. And you know, that would be great. And I think the one of the more likely people to really throw a wrench into the pretty boy's plans if he wins, but they're not recognizing it because he's so like just down to earth and chill and genuine that they all feel good with him. But again, I feel like if he exposes himself by casting a vote for Kiki, then they might start to realize, wow, actually, hold on. You should definitely be our target this week.
Yeah, that's 100% correct, because he is their biggest threat physically when it comes to any of these competitions. He's the next, you know, most athletic male left in the house. So why wouldn't he be a threat to the Pretty Boy Alliance? He's this, you know, shining guy right in front of everyone, you know, should be the target, but he's not, because he's able to get into people's heads and talk to them and correlate with them and tell them what they want to hear. But that's not going to work every single week. And I feel like for him, he needs to continue doing what he's doing. He can't vouch for Kiki. And if he does, it's going to put that target on his back that he doesn't need. He probably shouldn't have got this far. Let's be honest. Damien, the way he's been playing, not being main ally with one of the pretty boys or in their ear, I think that is one thing that's a big factor in his game from going forward, that if he doesn't have those relationships with them, it could hurt him down the line. But right now he's doing enough of a good job, you know, agreeing with all of them and agreeing with all their alliances. I think that for him, he is the next biggest target. He should be the next one out, but I'm glad he's not. All we need him to do is win a damn competition. Like, come on, dude. Like, please just win something. Because if he does, I think the house would flip. I think everyone would be running to him, telling him what he needs to hear. And I think he'd be able to use that information to make the best move possible. So for us as fans, I really love his game and I want to see him do well. But he is that next big target. And luckily, they don't quite see it yet unless he does this.
Yes. So Kiki's going to move her campaign over to Kira once again. It's again, not going to go well. Kira questions Kiki about the talking to the cameras, doing like, hey, we're targeting the showmance thing. And Kiki denies it, says, oh, why does this keep coming up? This is, you know, I'm pretty sure that didn't happen. You know, it's very frustrating to keep hearing about this. Ultimately Kira says, you know, but you know, I don't like Mark and, you know, ultimately I'm going to vote with the house. So, you know, don't worry.
Yeah. Just voting with the house, not voting for you, voting with the house. But this is where I can't stand Kiki's game, because she hears this information that, you know, apparently she said something about going after the showmans. But her way of saying no to it, it was, I don't think I did that. I, you know, Esty, did we do that? If I would have done that, I would have done that with you in the room. Like, no one else would have been there. How does that make sense? Why are you telling people that? Because now they're thinking, okay, that thought has been in your head. Obviously, you've said it some point. If you're saying, oh, I don't think I said it with someone else in the room. I don't think Anthony was there. Then obviously you said it. So don't use that excuse. If you didn't say it, say, no, I never said that. I would never do that. I want to work with them. I'm never going to go after them. Why would I ever do that? Question it. Don't question whether you said it with someone in the room in front of people. It's just, oh, Darren, it's such bad gameplay.
Yeah. So yeah. And also when somebody tells you they're voting with the house, that's it's not a good sign.
No,
it's not because what people, they want to get something from their vote. They want, like, they want something in return. So if they're voting for you, they want to be like, hey, I'm voting to keep you because I want you here and you should reciprocate that. They would, if they were voting to keep you, they wouldn't just be like, yeah, I'm voting because everyone else is voting that way. So I'm also going to vote that way. Nothing to do with you. Just happens to be I'm voting to keep you. Like, that doesn't happen. No. So Esty and Kiki are going to talk, as you mentioned, about, like, so what was, did we do that? I don't remember. Maybe we did. I don't know. Was Adam there? Was Anthony there? Dane, what do you think? It's a mess. Kiki will go to Sam and be like, Sam, I don't know if you've heard this thing about me going to the cameras. Did not happen. People are lying about this. I have gone to the cameras. You know, I talk to the cameras all the time, but you know, not this specific thing. And Sam was like, "Oh, I totally believe you. Don't worry about it. It's totally fine. I heard about it. I heard about it a long time ago, and I never even said anything to you because I just don't even care that much. It's just like, ah, ha, 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 I don't believe it. So don't worry about it. Because Sam is like super weird sometimes. So that's how that went.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, I totally believe you. There's no way I'm going to believe those rumors. I heard that a while ago. If I would have believed that, I would have said something to you. Yeah, right. Like, come on. Let's be real. You, of all people, would have said something to her if you didn't think that you couldn't get her out. Like, it's Kiki, Esty, like, come on. Like, why are you using this excuse? Like, I don't know. I'm not sure. It's not going to work. And good for Sam. Like, she's faking it enough that Kiki's believing it and be like, okay, I came out of that conversation. I told her that it wasn't me, that I never said that, or at least that I don't remember saying that. So we're good. Like, there's no way she thinks that I'm coming after her. And little does she know, Sam's back there being like, yep, we got to get her out. She's 100% coming after us. There's no way. So
yeah, I at some point I need to do some detective work because I can't even remember who it was that started this whole thing with the, I like, some people say it was Mark, some people say it was Anthony, some people say it was Dane. I think it was probably one of those three, but I can't remember who. If it was Mark, then, like, really good on him, because he's done such a good job of being like, you know, I didn't see it myself, but I've heard the rumor. So if he's the one that saw it and started it, then, like, you know, he tricked me.
I don't even know who said it.
Yeah. It almost definitely happened because, as they're talking about, it's so specific. And this is exactly, like, I'm pretty sure I remember them seeing them do that exact thing. So People saying it was Anthony. That's the prevailing theory, is that it was probably Anthony. But I don't know if Anthony's the one that caught them, or if it was Dane that told Anthony, because Dane saw them. I don't know. We'll have to figure it out.
Anthony, but I honestly, like you said, I can't tell you one way or the other. But I mean, if it was Mark, great for him. And another thing is, this is could have just started out like a game of telephone. Like someone said, oh, I think SD and Kiki are coming after Sam and Adam. Then it becomes, they're coming after Sam and Adam. Oh, they said it to the live feeders. Like, I think it could have just spiraled out going through people to people. But yeah, like you said, I think it was Anthony. I'm not 100% sure though.
Yeah. So Anthony is going to talk with Dane and Adam. They talk about what to do moving forward with the game plan here. Anthony says that Sam is getting close to Corey, which is good, because if Sam ever talks to Corey about making a move against the guys, Corey will come to him. And so he says, Dane, what you need to do is tell Esty to also get close to Corey, so that if Esty tries to make a move, that Corey will come and tell me about it. And clearly what Anthony is trying to do here is put Corey positioned in the middle between the two groups, so that he can continue to be positioned in the middle between the two groups to keep Corey safe, to keep him safe. This is really funny, because Dane is like, I already told Esty to get close to Corey. I keep telling her to do that. And Anthony's like, but she hasn't done it. He's like, no, she hasn't done it. It's like, yep, that's Kiki and Esty for you.
Yep. No matter what you say, they're only going to do what they want to do. And if they don't like people, they're not going to do it.
Yeah, they're just going to hang out with each other all the time and never barely branch out.
95% of the time, they're just hanging out with each other. And, oh, we need to talk game. They talk game for a few minutes, come back, hang out again. It's really frustrating.
Yes. Joseph says Dane told Anthony. That was my thought, that I think maybe Dane told Anthony and then Anthony told the rest of the house. But, yeah, well, I don't know how confirmed it is. All right. Sorry, back to this. Dane says, he's already told Esty to do that. She hasn't done it. They also talk about how Damien might put Adam up. They're kind of like, yeah, Damien might put you up, Adam. And he's like, because he likes Damien and he doesn't want him to. But he's looking at the pieces on the board and he's like, I don't see who else Damien's going to put up at this point. Don't worry, we can get in his ear. We can direct him away from it. Dane says, you'd have to promise not to use the veto if he put up Sam and Kira, because, otherwise he'd put you up so that if you won the veto, you couldn't use it on Sam. And he was like, well, yeah, but I'd still just use the veto. And he's like,
what? Like, come on, he's telling him what to do. Just say yes. Just say yes to it. Say no problem. That's what I'll do. Like, there's just no reason for this.
Dane wants Sam out.
I know he's so on that objective, but it's like sometimes you gotta give people a little something, or give them a little bit of clarity as to, okay, I'm willing to work with you on this. So I know you're like a bull in the china shop and you know what you want and you're going for it. Kind of like settle it down, give it a little leeway, let people speak their minds and kind of be open to it. Don't be so one-sided.
Yeah. Kira is going to play a prank on Adam, because they're having like a scare fight. They came into this sort of, while these guys were talking, after Corey had joined them. But then Kira came in and was like, Adam, I need to talk to you about the blood veto. It's like, what? And then they just leave. They just start booking it. And he just like gets up. He's like putting out a cigarette. He starts following them. And they're like, we need to talk about the blood veto. It's like, oh my God, what's going on? And he goes, and then Sam jumps out of the bathroom and scares him. I mentioned this because I was freaked out when Kira talked about the blood veto. I was like, what's happening? But then they also used it again. Esty and Dane. Esty went out to the hot tub to be like, guys, meeting about the blood veto. And they all came running in to find that they got pizza and alcohol. Once again, it's back after the controversial statements made last week. They feel comfortable introducing the alcohol again.
Kira and Sam, the real James Hewling of Big Brother Canada.
Yes.
Stop with the scare tactics. That was good, though. The blood veto, using that as an excuse, was hilarious. But now you've used it twice. Don't use it anymore. We've seen enough of that excuse. People aren't going to.
It was like twice within 30 minutes. It's like, all right, guys, come up with a different excuse.
Calm down. It's just pizza and beer. We're good. Now let's move on from the blood veto talk, because now us as viewers are wanting to see what's going on. So don't antagonize us now.
Yes. So that's basically what we got for the day. Anything else that you wanted to bring up, Bobby?
No. Like we said, kind of quiet weekend or week, excuse me. But we'll see. Hopefully things turn around once we find out what's going on with the blood veto. I'm very excited to find out what that twist can do, even if it's something small, just something small. We'll take it. We'll take it.
Kira did briefly mention to the cameras, they said, I almost wish this vote wouldn't go my way so that I could make a big move.
Hmm.
Which implies that that even if the vote did not go the way Kira wanted, that with the blood veto, Kira could do something to change that and make it go the way that they wanted.
So are we thinking Diamond Power Veto? Like, honestly, like, is that the route they're going with this? Because otherwise, I don't see how it makes sense. Unless there's something we're just not seeing.
It could be that they can use it to flip votes. It could be that they could use it to just decide who goes home. It could be that they could use it to remove one person from the block and put somebody else on instead. But I think that if it were something like that, then they would probably be thinking about taking a shot at Dane. Like if it was anything powerful enough to just kind of take someone right out of the house, they would definitely be using it to take Dane out of the house. So I think it's probably something more along the lines of, I don't know, like, I don't know, again, like maybe, again, as Nikki points out, this is one of the theories that I talked about, was vetoing a vote or multiple votes potentially, or I don't know. We'll find out.
Veto would play into that. But, you know, honestly, all the people in the house are thinking the same thing. They're thinking that she's going to be able to take someone down and replace someone. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it really might be the vote thing, because Kira's talked about, like, we have the votes. The votes are there to take Kiki out no matter what. Yeah. So it might be something to do with that. And that's why it's a blood veto. And that's why it's used on Thursday, because it has to do with votes. And it means that you are more in charge of the votes. We've talked about it being the sole vote, but it could also be vetoing votes or changing votes or something along those lines. So.
As long as we got Wendy's for the house, we're good.
Yeah. We will hopefully find out tonight during the episode. So, you know, of course, we'll see how that goes. Tomorrow, I will be back at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happened today on the Big Brother Canada live feeds. And then tomorrow night, we will be live to recap the eviction, where we will likely see Kiki go home. And then who knows, maybe we'll see the HOH competition there, or maybe we'll have to wait. We'll just have to wait and see.
We'll never know.
And then Sunday night, I have been talking with Bruno for the guest spot for the Sunday night show, where we recap the Sunday night episode. So make sure you tune in for that as well. Should be very fun. Bruno's a great guest. So, yes, lots of great stuff heading your way. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taryn. You can find Bobby. Where can people find you, Bobby?
It's at Goodspeed Bobby. That's GoodSpyBobby. So in case you didn't know how to spell it, because I wasn't clear the last couple times.
You can also find me on Instagram, Taryn_Armstrong, and on Twitch, twitch.tv/TarynArmstrong. I'll probably go live today for, I don't know, to hang out. It's my birthday. Hang out with you guys. Thank you all in the chat for the birthday wishes. You guys have been very sweet. So I appreciate you guys hanging out with me all season long, but especially today. Thank you for joining us. I'll see you next time.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry.
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.